You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you on a Friday. All Marine Radio for your listening entertainment, hopefully. If you've got a weather report, here's a reminder. Get your weather report in. Today is Joe Dunford's last day of work. Yeah. Over 40 years of military service. That's a lot. So well done to him, and probably appropriate that we begin the show with his final message to everybody who serves. So here is the outgoing commander-in-chief. He's a friend of mine. And you don't have too many careers that are greater than his. So in his own words, here he is, the 19th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph F. Dunford Jr., United States Marine Corps. Pay attention to the last words that he says too.
In the coming days, I'll complete over 4 decades of active service in my tenure as the chairman. Before taking off my uniform for the last time, I wanted to tell you what an honor it has been to serve alongside you and to represent you here in Washington, D.C. and across the globe. More importantly, I wanted to take a minute to simply thank you for who you are and what you do. Those of you in uniform, active, guard, and reserve, represent less than 1% of the American people. And you've answered the call to serve our nation during the time of war. You chose to challenge yourself to excellence and to be a part of something greater than yourself. You chose to make a difference. Across the globe, you stand watch on sea, air, and land as we simultaneously tackle the challenges associated with Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and violent extremism. And you are driving change to deal with the challenges of the 21st century, to include those in space and cyberspace. Like your predecessors, your ordinary men and women who hail from across the 50 states and U.S. territories. But you routinely demonstrate extraordinary courage, honor, commitment, loyalty, and self-sacrifice. It's because of you that I'm confident that we can defend the homeland and a way of life. It's because of you that we have earned the trust and confidence of allies and partners around the world. It's because of you that people believe in America. Over the past 4 years, I've spoken a lot about the need for our nation to maintain a competitive advantage over any potential adversary. You are our most important competitive advantage, and any adversary would think twice about committing an act of aggression because of you. And all of these words apply equally to our great civil servants who are an integral part of the team. I'd also like to take a minute to recognize our families. My wife, Ellen, and I know the unique challenges and sacrifices of military families. But we also know that the U.S. military is strong because of our foundation. And our foundation is our families. One of the most rewarding experiences of the last 4 years has been meeting with military families across the force. Thank you for welcoming us into your homes. Thank you for your willingness to sacrifice and support. And thank you for your resilience. Let me close by saying that as I depart active service, I depart with incredible pride and gratitude. Not because I'm a general or the chairman, but simply because I've stood in ranks with the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who wear the cloth of our nation. Please know that I'll remain in proud overwatch following my retirement. God bless you all, and Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fidelis, Joe Dunford, headed for the first Civ Div. Congratulations to him on an awesome career. And in particular, being the chairman in, I would say, a fairly difficult time in the nation's history, and successfully navigating Donald Trump, which not too many people seem to do. So so well done to Joe Dunford. The other thing, obviously, we need to talk about a top headline across the nation is military suicide rate continues to rise. I got an email from Lou. Guess this will make your news headlines for the opening hour today. When talking with my wife about this issue, she wonders if these service persons are or are not being screened for mental health issues before they enter the service. I know there's a psych eval as part of the entry screening, but has that changed and more vulnerable people are getting into the service? In other words, are they damaged before they get in, and either A, it's not the military's fault, fault is in quote, or B, they're really not fit for military service in the first place? Here's your shithole weather update for Joint Base McGuire-Dix-Lakehurst in New Jersey. Alright, we'll get to the shithole weather updates when we get to them. Yeah, Nancy, they're not mudhole updates, just for the record. They're shithole updates. Yeah, that's, I can't tell you how much email or how many text messages and phone calls I got, last night when this story kind of hit the wires. And again, if people are surprised by it, you know, I'm not. Cause again, I think what happens here is the people that run the services listen to behavioral health people. And they're looking for a program, they're looking for a drug, they're looking for a medication, and it ain't there. Right? It ain't there. The truth gets after the ignorant part, that you're not going to get over it. And it's a sad truth. And then the second part is the isolation part. Leadership gets at that. So, you know, if people are looking for an app, you're just going to see that number continue to rise as they continue to miss the mark. So hopefully at some point, Post-Traumatic Winning gets to audition for some greater audience, and they'll see that the truth works, right? That the truth works. But and this is kind of, you know, Lou's email and his wife's comment sets up the first part of the show. And how about this? How about if they are fit for military service and they don't have mental health issues? How about if they've grown up in a society that's as soft as a baby's ass and has taught you that your feelings are the most important things in the world, and when your feelings are trampled upon or when you're not feeling good, then it's a catastrophe. Right, it's a grade 5 catastrophe, and that's how you grow up. And nobody tells you the truth because they're so busy kissing your ass, to prepare you for the world as it exists, and it doesn't exist the way you want it to be. Yeah, it doesn't exist like that. It's a rough place, and it's not for the faint of heart. And then you waltz in there. And then when you do have a problem, right, all you do is you get more about how to cope with your problem, and it's this inward focus where you look to somehow or other bear this load. And I'm telling you that doesn't work. Doesn't work. Yeah, you can go get medicated with the zombie cocktail, right? But that's not going to take you to a good place. And you can go talk about it, but, you know, you can't talk horrible events to good things. You know, the only way you get it to good is you give of yourself. And so, anyway, what I'm hopeful of is out of this, you know, out of this continued bad news and this continued bad narrative, post-traumatic winning has a door open to it, and is allowed to show people that the truth with leadership is what works, and it works for young people. It works for young people. So, with that said, it is Friday. The chef's going to join us here in a little bit. So, United States Marine Corps Band is unemployed on Friday here on All Marine Radio, but Whitney Houston is employed, and here she is singing the national anthem. Good morning to you on a Friday. And as you might expect, this is dedicated to the Dunfords, Joe and Ellen. Well done to both of you. I had a chance to meet General Dunford when he was a colonel in Ramadi. He was the chief of staff of the 1st Marine Division. When I got there, he had just been the regimental commander for the 5th Marine Regiment during a march up. He then became General Mattis's chief of staff, and I met him there and got a chance to work with him side by side and watch the way he did business. I counseled him on occasion about it. And he's a great guy, other than being a Red Sox fan. He's a great guy. And then met his wife at the marathon a year ago. And I met Ellen there. I'd never met either anybody in his family. I'd only known him. and met his daughter, who was happened to be there. And then Ellen saw me do post-traumatic winning at the General Officer Symposium, and she brought me to the Pentagon to do it. So I got a chance to get to know her a little bit, and she's been an advocate for it and has opened doors for post-traumatic winning. So well done to both of them. It's dedicated on a Friday to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PSC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather. Currently, cloudy and partly cloudy in 76 in Quantico. It is some clouds in 83 at Camp Lejeune. Cooled off in California. Sunny in 68 in 29 Palms. Clouds in 66 at Pendleton. Dark cloudy and 75 at Camp Smith. Dark cloudy 81 in Okinawa. Evening falling, 93 degrees in Ramadi in Iraq. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 88. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 69. Looking for a high today of 75 degrees, 71 tomorrow, and 73 on Sunday. Supposed to have a little bit of rain, but we shall see. Colleen took my car to school today. That's a first, okay? My truck. Yeah, my 16-year-old driving my truck around. Oh, my God. I said, if you lose the keys, I'm going to come up and I'm going to knock your ass out. I said, do you have a little clip in your backpack? She said, yes. They go on there every time. Got it? And you'll never lose them. Okay. She was fired up, though. Yeah. I didn't hear the tires screeching, so at least she got a block away before she pulled that stunt. All right, now, As is our custom, shithole weather updates, all right? From Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst in New Jersey, sunny and clear, 64 degrees, headed for 77. That's right. Lou, forgot the wind. Yeah. Sunny, clear, and 64. There's supposed to be a wind direction and speed. Winds out of north at 5 miles an hour. I'll make one up. There you go. That's New Jersey. Nancy, she just puts weather update. She won't say shithole. Come on, Nancy. Get with the program. In northwest Pennsylvania. Nancy, I think you should give us some kind of, I mean, we're map readers here, okay? So you got to give us something more than northwest PA. So give us a reference point. Give us a city. You know, that's how we got to Saskatchewan, right? 221 miles north of Minot. Yeah, I almost have it memorized. Sunny, clear skies, wind out of the north at 6, currently 54 degrees, expecting a high of 80. Boom, she nailed it, other than not having a better reference point. So, Nancy, get your shit together. Let's see. Happy Friday, Mac. Today's shithole weather in Vacaville. Currently 61 degrees, clear, slight breeze out of the southwest. Looking for high of 78. Boom! See, people are learning. They are trainable. They are trainable. Here's another one. To the chef. Welcome back, Kim. Yeah. I was at dinner the other night. I was at... Here's another one. Preach it, Mac, right with you. P.S. Welcome back to Chef Kim. I was at dinner right the other night. I got asked about Kim. How's Kim? You know, and the funniest thing about that is when he first started coming on, people were like, why are you doing a food segment? Right? And now people know him. Shithole weather for Friday, September 27th. Position, Webster, Massachusetts. Home of Lake Shabunganunganmong. Yeah, I guess. Also called Lake Webster. 61 degrees, clear, winds are calm, unlimited ceiling. Chris from Webster, out. Chris is an asshole. Let us look at your weather. I love shithole weather, man. It is. And you have to know the story behind shithole weather is this, for those of you who don't know. Right? I had this little skit that I do. And not a skit, but it's a comedy routine. It's like one of my standards, right? Somebody rolls in to wherever I'm working. Fallujah Ramadi Hellman, like, his Major McNamara here. Yeah, who are you? Sir, I'm Staff Sergeant, you know, Benance. Hey, Staff Sergeant, what's up? Hey, sit down, you know. And then I say really loud, hey, Staff Sergeant, where are you from? And all my Marines start laughing, right? Because they know what's going to happen. And he says, sir, I'm from, I'm from Topeka, Kansas. And I would say, Topeka, Kansas? Like I was excited about it. And I would say, and he'd say, yeah. And I'd say, that's a fucking shithole. And they would get this look on their face like, what? And he's like, and they would all say the same thing. Sir, no, it's not. And I'd look at whoever's sitting next to me who was in on it, right? Hey, Gunny, have you ever been to Topeka? Yes, sir, I have. Is it a shithole? Yes, sir. Straight up shithole. And then everybody would look at the staff sergeant who's standing there, right? And they would always say, yeah, you're right, it is kind of a shithole. And then I would say, I've never been there, neither has he. Why aren't you standing up for your city, man? What's that? Marines would start laughing. They'd say, come on, sir. Why are you dogging me like this? Like, look, man, got to pass the time. Got to have a good time with this stuff, right? Alright, we'll take a break. We come back. I got a little Viktor Frankl for you. We'll talk about news and hopefully an opportunity that's going to come for post-traumatic winning in the midst of more and more, bad news for the DOD. So, there's a ray of sun out there. Somebody got to tell the story though. So don't touch that dial. More Vol Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, I want to play a little Viktor Frankl.
I want to walk you through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope you made.
Email, Mac, how's your back? You know, I thought it was getting better, and then today it doesn't feel better today. It feels better than it did a few days ago, but, and I'll tell you what, I think the worst thing I do is sit here for 2 hours in the same spot. So, mixed results. Went and saw Colleen's volleyball game yesterday, so did that, and they got smoked. Well, not smoked. They got beaten, but the opposing team has a girl going to Stanford on a volleyball scholarship. And Stanford, like, I want to say, what, top five in the country every year in volleyball? Man, she was crushing the ball. It was awesome to watch. She's a good athlete. So, anyway, so I stood around and whatnot, but... So, mixed results on the back. I want to play a little bit of Viktor Frankl, okay? Now I've got to find the file, though, and it's... I do this, and I... My... Let's see. I think this is it. Anywho... So the suicide thing, like, what is it? Is it a mental health issue? Is it people lost in the sauce? And so I, as a premise for all of this, I have a video that I play during the during post-traumatic winning, and something that Josh Goldberg introduced me to. So I have him to thank for it. And the premise of all of this, right? The premise. Now, this is a video that gets played in post-traumatic winning. So, images, videos. All right. So I want you to pay attention to this. If I can find it. And wouldn't you know it? You think I can find it? Not only no, but hell no. But I know where it is, so give me 1 second, and you'll hear it. So the premise is you're going to hear them talk about screening for depression. And and you're going to hear they do a study in Texas. And I've played this before, but I just want to refresh your memory. So this is what they're finding. Indian doctors working in the United States, and they do a study. And here's what they find. Right? I want you to pay attention to the percentages that they find. Let me see if I can get the audio to play.
That's absolutely right. So our screening is really universal screening. If you, what traditionally happens...
Okay, so they're doing this study in Texas. I think they've written software programs. And so every patient who comes in is going to get screened for depression. Right? So that's what he's going to talk about here. And it's significant because in India, they don't have enough mental health providers, so they do a lot of community-based mental health. And that's what the forum generally was talking about.
In primary care is people wait, and the patient either complains or starts crying or is suicidal is when they screen. That is not called screening because then it's too late. So what this is via primary care practices are universally screening. Every patient coming into the clinic get screened for depression, and that is how you identify whether they need to have further monitoring or not. And that is the 12 to 15% of patients. Once they get screened positive, then they get routine measurement at every treatment occasion to monitor their outcomes. And if the patients have
12 to 15%, right? Remember that.
Have significant need for psychiatry, they are referred, and that has been really less than 1% of the population.
Okay, less than 1%. Now, that's the general population. Okay? So that's what they found in their study. And that is less than 1% of the population that has symptoms of depression. So what are symptoms of depression that you're struggling? You know? So of the entire population, 99% of the population can be treated. Okay? And there's obviously 1% of the population that has a probably more substantial issue. Okay. So I want you to, so now keep that in mind. All right. I want you to hear what Frankel has to say about that. Okay. All right. So, let me find him again. Here he is. All right. So here's Frankel talking about his approach to it and why it makes sense.
Freedom is part of the story and half of the truth. Being free is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon.
That's not it. Damn it. I knew this was going to happen. I like that quote, though. Stand by. I'll get it. Because I rearranged, there's like 3 quotes I want you to hear. And I rearranged them so that they would make more logical sense. Okay? So, so if you believe, right, if you believe in the study that the Indian, right, doctors did, and that, I mean, I even say, look, I'll even tell you that, let's just say for the sake of discussion, all right, let's just say for the sake of discussion that they're 9% off. And it's really 90%. So the breakdown is 90% instead of 99%. Let's just say the breakdown is 90%. All right? I mean, still, that's like everybody you know, right, who struggles isn't clinically depressed. They're struggling, right? So here's Frankel.
To be sure, a human being is a finite thing, and his freedom is restricted. It is not freedom from conditions, but it is freedom to take a stand toward the conditions. As I once put it, as a professor in two fields, neurology and psychiatry, I am fully aware of the extent to which man is subject to biological, psychological, and sociological conditions. But in addition to being a professor in two fields...
Now he's about to drop the hammer. Listen to this.
I am a survivor of four camps, concentration camps, that is. And as such, I also bear witness to the unexpected extent to which man is capable of defying and braving even the worst conditions conceivable.
So, Frankl says, yes, those circumstances, right, which affect all of us as humans, and we as humans are part animal, no doubt, right? But in Frankl's experience, and what he espouses is, man can rise above all of that, right? Man can rise above all of that. All right, now listen to this.
I had none of this in mind when I wrote the book in 1945. And I did so within 9 successive days, and with the firm determination that the book would be published anonymously. In fact, the first printing of the original German version does not show my name on the cover, though at the last moment, just before the book's initial publication, I did finally give in to my friends, who had urged me to let it be published with my name at least on the title page. At first, however, it had been written with the absolute conviction that, as an anonymous opus, it could never earn its author literary fame. I had wanted simply to convey to the reader by way of a concrete example that life holds a potential meaning under any conditions, even the most miserable ones. And I thought that if the point were demonstrated in a situation as extreme as that in a concentration camp, my book might gain a hearing. I therefore felt responsible for writing down what I had gone through, for I thought it might be helpful to people who are prone to despair. And so it is both strange and remarkable to me that, among some dozens of books I have authored, precisely this one, which I had intended to be published anonymously so that it could never build up any reputation on the part of the author, did become a success. Again and again I therefore admonish my students, both in Europe and in America, don't aim at success. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you're going to miss it. For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue, and it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself. Happiness must happen, and the same holds for success. You have to let it happen by not caring about it. I want you to listen to what your conscience commands you to do, and go on to carry it out to the best of your knowledge. Then you will live to see that in the long run, I say, success will follow you precisely because you had forgotten to think of it.
That cannot be further from our culture today, right? That look for meaning in your life. Devote yourself to that which has meaning to you. Relentlessly devote yourself to that and those which have meaning to you. And watch what happens in your life. Right? Watch what happens in your life. That could not be further from what young people grow up with today. Right? To be rich and to have fame and be a celebrity is the goal. Right? Isn't that what it's all about? And then you see the people that have that committing suicide. Ooh. Maybe it's not what it's all about. And Frankl kind of lays it out. Now, listen to him as he goes further into the logical syllogism.
We must never forget that we may also find meaning in life even when confronted with a hopeless situation, when facing a fate that cannot be changed. For what then matters is to bear witness to the uniquely human potential at its best, which is to transform a personal tragedy into a triumph, to turn one's predicament into a human achievement. When we are no longer able to change a situation... Just think of an incurable disease such as inoperable cancer. We are challenged to change ourselves.
And in changing ourselves to rise above it, right? To transcend it as only man can, right? And that transcendence doesn't come from a bottle. It doesn't come from sitting there talking about it. It comes from meaning and giving. You know, Frankel, I mean, he's, Frankel's the shit, man. He's the shit. Are you looking for a more powerful drug out there? You're not going to find it.
Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth. Freedom is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon whose positive aspect is responsibleness. That is why I recommend that the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast. To be sure, a human being is a finite thing.
Come on, man. That is strong, strong stuff. Right? Makes me want to sing in the Ed Sheeran song.
Anything she needs, you can call me. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Mac, why do you want to sing about revenge? If you're happy. I don't know, I just do. And let me tell you, what the DOD will search for is an app, right? The solution is in substance. The solution is in overcoming ignorance about what it is to live with trauma. The solution after that, the second part of the solution, is leadership. Leadership that gets in their ass and knows their business. You know? And so, I mean, what I'm hopeful is, in the midst of, you know, terrible headlines, is that the road that people are going down is the wrong road. I know that. I live it every day. Lived it about four times yesterday. Yeah, I love this song. It's not really about revenge. I know that. Well, it might be. It's not about revenge yet.
No other man. Now what you not gonna do is stand there across from me like you got kung fu. That's their
kung fu.
But y'all know that my girl been doing CrossFit. Kung pop, it's on with a cross kick. Pulling air out, wear out, you exhausted. No, she's gonna slide and tell you.
Here we go.
Keep a little blade up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one say hi to me.
Without her.
Better pay your respect to the queen. Better do that
without a flirt.
Gotta respect.
I see a couple of things that you need to know.
If you still want to be friends with me.
If you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me.
If you, if you, if you, if you cross her,
then you can call me,
cross me.
So I'm optimistic, man. I'm optimistic that at some point, right, if you relentlessly pursue good, somebody opens up the door and lets you in. I was talking to my nephew, he's a cop. And he said, Uncle Michael, we don't have anything like that. I said, guess he's going to make it happen there, war dog. And he said, all right. He said, I'll help. So, man, let me just tell you that... that Frankel audio, it's awesome, right? Why he wrote the book. He wrote the book in 9 days. Right? He wrote the book in 9 days. Didn't want to put his name on it. Included the part about Auschwitz because he thought the gravity of the situation would help people understand how magnificent people can be in that setting, right? And then, look, you know, you cannot pursue, you know, success. You cannot pursue happiness. You have to do, you have to pursue the things you're committed to, and you have to give of yourself, you know, selflessly. And if you do that, you'll be rich, no matter how much money you have in the bank. You'll be happy. You'll have all the greatest things in life. That used to be a lesson that we all grew up with, you know? Maybe not articulated like exactly like that, but it was a lesson, you know, to devote yourself to, you were part of a church, right? You were supposed to help out. You were supposed to coach. You were supposed to be a Boy Scout leader. You're supposed to do those things because that's what people did in a community. That's what good people did in a community. You know? So, anyway. All right. We'll check some news headlines here. Stars and Stripes first. Chef's going to join us in about 9 and 5, 14 minutes. Headline, U.S. alliance remains cornerstone of Japan's defense strategy, a new report says. You think? it's always good to be friends with the biggest dude on the block, all right? So, but Japan, you know, you're seeing them increasingly devote more and more of their budget to their military. And I believe they absolutely know that at some point they're going to have an event with the Chinese in the Senkaku Islands. So Grant Newsham made it smart. Grant's going to join us next week, as is Mrs. Smith. Yeah, Mrs. Smith. And so Mrs. Smith's going to join us and make it smart about Iran on Monday. So, yeah. And then on Tuesday, I think Alex is going to join us. Wednesday, Grant's going to join us. So next week will be fun week. And then the week after, I think Jack Riley will join us. Navy says goodbye to its blueberry camouflage uniform. Yeah. No longer be authorized to wear as of Tuesday, October 1. So that's going on. So congratulations to the Navy, right, for doing that. 700 Marines arrived in Norway for a six-month deployment. About 700 Marines took over the Marine Corps mission in Norway on Friday, marking the latest troop rotation into a country where American forces have in the past several years been focused on cold weather warfare and tactics. So, Second Marine Division in the news up there in Norway. So we love that. The, let's see. It's interesting that Stars and Stripes has not one mention of the suicide in its major headlines. So, yeah, kind of interesting that they don't. United States Naval Institute news, right? The place we go for hard news. China launches first big deck amphibious warship. There's a message, everybody out there. Yeah, the picture. Whoa, what does that look like? You've seen it. You've been on it. There's also a headline for a report to the South China Sea on U.S.-China competition in the South and the East China Seas. So that's in there. Pentagon, next headline. Pentagon sees military suicide rates continue to rise. That's a story that you see in there as well. Let me just give you the down and dirty on that. The suicide rate among active duty military personnel has been steadily increasing by an average rate of 6% a year during the past 5 years, according to DOD report released on Thursday. That trend appears to be continuing. The Navy and Marine Corps both released partial 2019 statistics for the year through September, and the trend suggests the services will record a suicide rate in line with what's been recorded in the past few years. The bottom line is, this is Rear Admiral William Sobeck, the director of the 21st Century Sailor Office. The bottom line is we have to take a look at what happened. Yeah, no kidding. In comparison, Marine Corps suicide rate among active duty personnel was 30.7 per 100,000, according to the Marine Corps. The Air Force suicide rate was 18 per 100,000. The Army suicide rate was 29.8 per 100,000. The Navy was 21.4 per 100,000. So you can see the Marine Corps significantly higher than everybody else. So anyway, that's probably the top story in anybody who writes about the DOD other than Stars and Stripes, oddly enough. We'll check the top stories in Early Bird, or I'm sorry, in Marine Corps Times. Top story in Marine Corps Times still is about the mid-air collision. Number two, right beneath that, active duty suicides are on the rise as the Pentagon works on a new messaging and strategy. The National Guard suicide rate has surpassed the other military components. First ever data for family suicides was released. New messaging. I come on, man. New messaging? The number of suicide jumped from 285 to 325 between 2017 and 2018, according to the 2018 annual suicide report, for a rate of about 22 suicides per 100,000 service members from 22 to 25. Although the suicide rate among most of our military populations is comparable to broader civilian rates, this is hardly comforting, and our numbers are not moving in the right direction, said Elizabeth Van Winkle, the Defense Department's Executive Director of Force Resiliency. So again, to go over those rates, all right, the Army, 29.5, Marine Corps, 31.4, Navy, 18.5, the Air Force, 18.5. The Army Reserve is 25.3. The Marine Corps Reserve at 19%. And this is per 100,000. The Army National Guard, 35.3, tops the Marine Corps. The Air National Guard, 17. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So hopefully somebody opens the door for post-traumatic winning. Any other headlines? Nothing I would share with you. Finally, top five stories in Early Bird. Give me 1 second for it to load, and then we'll get the chef in here. Number one, active duty suicides are on the rise as the Pentagon works on a new messaging strategy. Number two, 200 air and missile defense soldiers set to deploy to Saudi Arabia. You heard General Dunford, who we were talking about earlier, is on his last day of work. But you heard him talk about last Friday at the press conference that he and the Secretary of Defense had, that now that they had, you know, some kind of course of action, that they would begin to apply assets of the DOD to that course of action. Number three, Air Force General John Hayden was confirmed as the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff yesterday, capping months of controversy surrounding his promotion to the second highest military post. What's interesting is allegations of sexual assault and harassment that were evidently thoroughly investigated were found to be unfounded, and he was confirmed. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting about that is I believe there was a day when the simple accusations would have derailed the nomination. So that's kind of an interesting, has been kind of an interesting situation to watch come to market. The fourth story, Senate passes Ukrainian aid extension, averts government shutdown for now. The Senate voted to send President Donald Trump a measure to avoid government shutdown, extend the Ukrainian military aid that's at the center of the House presidential impeachment inquiry now. Number five, Esper to talk about SECNAV, about the Navy's PT program. The Navy has the highest proportion of overweight personnel, according to a DOD report released in the Navy, man. Every day they're in the news for this kind of, just headlines that aren't good. So the study was released in September. The Navy's got the highest rate of overweight personnel. After completing an early morning workout with a group of local sailors, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper isn't ready to single the service out, but he plans to have a conversation about the state of the Navy's physical fitness program with Secretary of Navy Richard Spencer, who's a former Marine. My view is that there are things that the services should do, and I would leave it up to the services to determine if there's an occupational test, if you will, he told Military Time. So, anyway, Navy long been the fattest service, all right? All it's got to do is check their uniforms out. And let me tell you, I think it goes back to the whole discipline thing. When you stop holding people to standards, and you see all the different ways it manifests itself. And so, and you know, to me, here's the tragic part is that young people who join the military are 50% more likely to have trauma in their background. I was one of them, right? Looking for something solid and good and better. And they want to be challenged. And when we allow them to, I shouldn't say we anymore, when the military allows them to backslide and not live up to that, they backslide into what they didn't want, what they didn't like about their life. And, you know, that it's not a good thing. All right, some operational notes from overseas. The Afghan presidential vote is coming close. Controversy, former President Karzai said the election shouldn't take place. Violence is on the increase, and there's a huge discussion about corruption in Afghanistan. You know, corruption, you know, it's simply the way they do it, right? And you could argue that corruption is the way we do it here, too. All you got to do is watch the news. A bipartisan report calls for U.S. to halt its withdrawal from Syria. That's interesting, right? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us, and we'll talk a little food. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.